I'm grateful to know you and to be able to share you with team, honestly, because
That
it's just, I would never know. I would never know if I met you and I didn't know a thing about you. I would not know that you had OCD, that you were going through all these things, let alone
I mean, I
like you
think,
were in such a dark place.
I mean, I think that's why it's important to talk about it, though, right? Because, like,
Yeah.
I think even when I look at my life sometimes now, and I think everybody puts forward their accomplishments, and they sort of put their best foot forward and stuff. And, like, I know what it feels like on a day-to-day basis, and I know what I went through to get here and everything. And that, I think it's important to share all that too, because otherwise people just think, well, what's wrong with me if I'm not there? And I'm like, nobody is. I think once I started being kind of open about this, it was amazing the people who came out of the woodwork to tell me about things they were going through, because like it's you just never know what somebody else is going through. And everybody's going through something. It's life. So like when you open up about yourself, though, you're creating space for other people to be able to open up to you as well. And I think that's super important.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh wow. And yeah, I totally agree, and I feel like what do you think like our listeners could do to help support people who are suffering with mental illness, and how do you see the online space maybe playing a negative and positive role in
Role.
that?
I mean, I think that there is some rightful criticism or concern about the role that social media and that sort of what I was talking about, sort of the pressure to sort of idealize your life, like Instagram typifies that, obviously. I think that there's also a danger in demonizing it, though, because especially if we're talking about teen mental health, we're going to be fighting an uphill battle. The internet is not going anywhere. Social media is not going anywhere. What can we do to carve out spaces in that to utilize the best properties of it and try and provide conversations for teenagers where they are and not ask them to relearn, not ask them to come to where we are. Like that's not gonna happen. Like go to where they are. And
So smart.
that was a big part of what was important about You Are Okay to Me. It was also seeing that teenagers were already doing this. They already had at the time, I mean this was 5 years ago and the internet moves very quickly, but like Tumblr was a place that a lot of teenagers were creating communities for themselves. I think that teens naturally are very good at creating communities for themselves online. And I mean, I think my generation, I'm 29 and I would consider myself an internet native, but even so, like social media, the way I know it exists now, didn't exist till I was in high school. So I have a very different relationship to it, even than somebody who's 10 years younger than me does. God, 15 years younger than me. Like, it's a different world. I think that people have been naturally sort of doing this anyway. And I think that the important thing to do is how can we as advocates and as mental health professionals, I'm not, but I have been lucky to work with a lot of wonderful mental health professionals, how can we best utilize the tools that already exist and try and create these conversations? And then in terms of in everyone's own life, I think the only thing you can do is try and be as honest as you can with the people around you. I think that makes such a huge difference. It makes your friendships and relationships that much deeper. I mean, it's just communication, right? But it's like it's a scary thing because it's vulnerable and nobody really wants to be vulnerable. But once you start speaking honestly about how you're doing, people have the space to do that with you. And I think that creates a very nice community that can happen. I definitely like have felt the change, felt the shift in the world around me since I've started being a lot more open. Also, like, the other thing, though, is that I am very, very lucky that I have a job where I can talk about that and not worry about keeping my job. And I have a community that's not going to sort of shun me for talking about it. So it also does all come from this place of privilege. But, you know, if you have that privilege, you kind of, I do think you sort of have an obligation, really, to use it and try and create openness where you can. For me personally, it's been really nice, like, because the OCD thing is just so out there now, and, like, I, like, if you Google me, I'm pretty sure it's, like, the first thing that comes up is an article where I talk about it, and, like, there's, like, a textbook, I swear to God, that exists, and it's, like, under OCD, it's, like, me, this, like, Psychology 101 textbook. I'm, like, that's truly my favorite accomplishment of mine so far. So because I'm so open about it, if I'm having kind of, like, a day where I'm feeling particularly anxious, or I'm, like, I feel like I'm really obsessing about something, I can say that to the people around me, and I think that's been really helpful, because otherwise you're just trying to push through something when maybe you don't need to push through it. Maybe there's another way you can work through it with people.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Like, so many aha moments, but I loved how you said just being honest. Like, I feel like we tend to overcomplicate the conversation sometimes. I'm just speaking from my experience and what I've done. And, like, just what you said, just be honest. And that's so terrifying, but...
Well, I think when it came to, like, doing You Are Okay and stuff, the reason that it's videos that are sort of first-person videos is because you can't be wrong when you're telling your own story from your own experience. And I think that we run into a lot of trouble when we try to tell other people's stories. Mental illness is something that's so personal. It's something that happens across intersections. It's such a personal experience, and it's experience. Even if the diagnosis is the same, it's a very personal experience based on so many other factors. So the only thing that I wanted to do was provide the space for people to tell their own stories, and I think that's the most effective thing we can do. Like, there isn't one story of getting through OCD. There's just the way it worked for me in particular, the person that I am. It's so individual. So I think making sure that there are at least as many stories out there as possible is great, because then, like, anybody who's going to the site or anybody who's trying to see their story reflected can at least find something that either speaks to them, or they'll find, like, snippets of a bunch of different stories that resonate. But, yeah, I think it's just important to have that first-person perspective. Otherwise, I think that this conversation can exist sort of in the abstract, and I think that's I have sort of a problem with that, because it's not something that's abstract. I think it's great that there are, like, these sort of resources where it's like, if you are dealing with this thing, here is where you can get help. But it's very different if you're like, I dealt with this thing, here's what I did, maybe it'll work for you. I think that's just a lot more powerful. And also, like, makes people feel like they can be a part of that conversation, because it's not happening with people who are removed from it. It's happening with people who live with it.
Wow. Yeah, and that would then also help with the isolation factor that you've shared a lot about.
Yeah,
that you're okay.
I mean, that's, I think, the hugest thing, is just that if you're in a situation where you feel like you can't talk about something, you do feel sort of isolated. And I think that can be one of the most painful parts of the whole thing, is that you feel like you're missing out on community. And if you're not in a physical community where you can express this and find people you relate to, it's really important to have an online community.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And it's just, like you said, like, it's great that just meeting kids where they're at, right? Meeting people where they're at with the online
spaces. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Genius, Mrs. Jenny. I'm genius.
Thank you.
When you were a teen, talking about, you know, sharing and not isolating, what was there anything that held you back from talking about your struggles as a teenager, and how did you overcome that?
I think when I was, like, really young, when I was, like, 10, I've talked about this publicly, but that was, like, the first time I ever had, like, suicidal thoughts, and I just did not know what they were or how to talk about them. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling like I just sort of wished that an accident would happen and, like, a car would hit me or something, and then I wouldn't have to do anything, and my parents wouldn't have to feel like it was their fault or anything like that. And I didn't know how to talk about that. I was just too young. I just didn't have the language, and it was just really scary to go through. And then when I was a teenager, I think the bigger thing, like, because at that point I sort of had my parents' support, and I had talked to them about it, and was able to talk about it on that level. I think the bigger thing was sort of the teenage thing of, like, I'm already sort of, like, nerdy, and kids can smell fear on you, and, you know, I got bullied a lot, and I think that it was just, why would I want to, you know, aggravate that? Like, why would I give anybody more ammo? And
Right. Just
not, like, and the assumption that I had, obviously, was I am the only person who's going through this, because that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Why would I make myself any weirder? Of course, come to find out many years later, and having connected with many of my classmates years on, I found out I was not the only person going through that. And I just, like, it was, but at the time it felt like, yeah, I'm not going to create more conflict for myself than I need to deal with right now. And it's not like I had... I think that people were aware to some degree, like at my school, like the teachers and stuff, but yeah, I don't know what talking about it really would have looked like in an open way. I think that's just hard for teenagers. I think it is different now. I think that because teenagers are a lot more, like, confessional, and I think because everybody's more open, I think that things have shifted, but, you know, in high school in 2004 to 2008, I think it was a very different world.
Yeah. So. Oh my gosh. And that's, like, the whole void aspect you mentioned, I think, when we were talking before, and you said, like, you know, I go on the internet and it's like a void that I just go into and I can share, and it doesn't
feel... Yeah, I still feel that way. Yeah. And I like, forget... Honestly, I've said this a few times, but, like, when I've been podcast, I'm like, oh, I forget somebody's going to listen to this. And then I, like, just, I'll say stuff, and somebody will be like, oh, yeah, you said this thing. And I'll be like, oh, I completely blacked out.
That's awesome.
Also, like, I grew up in the town I grew up in, because I grew up in Silicon Valley, and there's a very high teen suicide rate there. And I think it's because there is a premium put on everything looking a certain way.
Hmm.
And I think that it's very hard for the kids who grow up there, and it's a very high achieving place, and it's a place where everybody sort of wants to be perceived in a certain light, and, you know, mental illness will sort of, like, get in the way of things looking totally perfect. And I think, yeah, I don't know what it's like now, because I think a lot of good work has been done there. But it's a very specific and strange environment.
Wow.
And certainly it was a very strange environment in which to experience all of this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What, like, when did you discover comedy, and was it in your teen years as a young kid? Like, was that always there, and has it contributed to your mental health in any way?
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved comedy, and I don't even remember sort of when it first started becoming this active part of my life. I think, like, people, you know, sometimes ascribe being funny to having struggled, and I think that's a mistake because I think that starts to glamorize it, and I don't think that I think it gives people sort of permission or makes people think that not treating their mental illness will help their creative process, and I have been there, and it doesn't work. Take care of your mental health, you'll still be funny. But I think that it was just always something that I gravitated towards because I think that it's a huge, like, relief. I mean, people like entertainment because it provides a respite from the horror of being alive. And I think that comedy is sort of like the most direct way to do that. Comedy is sort of laughing in the face of death. And I think that just always really appealed to me. And so I remember, like, when I was, like, in middle school and high school and, like, especially when I was really struggling, like, comedy was such a saving grace for me. I also felt, I just sort of voraciously watched it. And now I look back and I'm like, wow, that was, like, my best education was just I have this huge playbook of comedy to pull from. But I think the other thing that I think really drew me to it is that a lot of my heroes are people like Maria Bamford and Stephen Fry, who were some of the first people I heard talk about mental illness in a way that really resonated with me, especially Maria Bamford, who has OCD. And I had just been diagnosed when I heard her first album, and it blew my mind because I'd never heard somebody talk about the symptoms I was experiencing in this way, where it was like accessible and not scary and not totally diagnostic. It was like it was explaining experience, which was so cool to hear, and to know that she was, and she's also been amazing in an ongoing way, where she was like really open about being hospitalized later in her career, and it's so cool and important to have people like that. And the other thing is I was like, wow, like she can do this thing. Like this might be a space where I could carve out a place for myself as well. And so I think I was just always really drawn to that. I wanted to, you know, give back to people the sort of like relief that comedy has given me. And then You Are Okay became the more direct way to do that. But I'm really glad that I've sort of found my way back into the writing world because I did take a break from it for about 2 years just to get You Are Okay off the ground. And it all feels like it's part of the same mission, I think. Mm.